thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yael Shedarel. Hello. Today, we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about art, about artists. Be with us. It's going to be really interesting. Yael, please. Yeah, we know that artists, they don't simply create things, but they have this very strong inner drive. Artists, they have a very strong need to create. Sometimes they're willing not to have a place to live or having nothing to eat, but they simply can't give up art. What characterizes an artist? A very big egoistic desire. He has to express himself, even if he has to paint with his own blood. And there were such cases where an artist really dies on his easel that you paint on. He starts building a building, you know, like they used to do in the past where you built it for 300 or 400 years. So he begins, even his children, his grandchildren won't be there to see it. But he starts doing it and he passes it on to the next generations. And it's really something very special. An artist is a person that has a very strong inner drive to express himself, very big egoist, even though that it seems to us that he's willing to contribute and so on, and that they're kind of floating in the air, that they're floating and everything. It's not how we think it is. He has a burning fire on the inside, and he has to express himself. Otherwise, he can't live. It's a very special degree. I'd say it's the average degree between a person in this world and a Kabbalist. An intermediate degree. Yeah. That he has to express himself, but he still feels like expressing himself through different materials or sounds, doesn't matter, that are corporeal. And maybe not for the sake of the upper force, but to the pleasure of other people, to be famous, or not even that. It depends. Depends. The main thing is the inner drive to create, but still, it's a very strong egoistic drive. And what's special about their emotions, their mind? There's something about an artist that doesn't exist in other people in the way their mind's structured. He's willing to annul himself. He's willing to annul himself in order to create whatever piece of art he decided to make. It's more important than he is, even if he has to die for it. We also saw it with doctors that tried out different medicines on themselves. There are many such examples. And maybe some people think that it's a special kind of elation. But no, it's just a very big developed egoistic desire that pushes a person to create such things. And how does an artist perceive reality? The perception of reality of an artist is different than the perception of reality of an ordinary person, because his perception is in between degrees. What does it mean? We act, ordinary people, we act out of a perception of reality that we perceive right now, and this is what controls us. An artist, he has an additional form of development, only partial one. It's like we say in the wisdom of Kabbalah, I'll say it and whoever wants can read more about it later. He has a reshimo, an impression from Oviut Aleph, from the first coarseness, and he has a reshimo, an impression from Itlabshut Bet, from the second clothing. And the impression from the second clothing, it's an impression from a higher degree that still didn't clothe in him, but already shines upon him to some extent, what we call in slang a muse. And then a person feels this muse, and this is what guides him and pulls him to create, which is a bit higher than other people, a bit higher. This form doesn't clothe in him clearly, therefore they can build and contradict and burn and whatnot until they reach something. But this is the main thing, meaning he's not based on what he has now, but on what pulls him forward, the reshimo of clothing from a higher degree, and this is how he advances. This is what he lives from, because this is the spirit. What he has now is corporeal, earthly, and what he'll have is spirit. And he's willing to give up his corporeality for the spirit. This is what he lives for. Yeah, he waits for these moments, for this to clothe in him and for something to come out. Now, also this process that something dresses in him and something comes out. I mean, sometimes they say that they don't control what they feel, but it's a sudden clothing of something external that awakens their spirit of creation. Yeah. You put it well. And what is that spirit, that muse that clothes in them? It's a clothing, an impression from the clothing of a higher degree, a reshimo from a higher degree. I'm talking in Kabbalistic technical language, and something that we can better understand, something from a higher level of development, from a higher degree of development that hasn't clothed in any way yet, but he wants to clothe it in order to perceive it somehow. A Kabbalist, he perceives things differently. He doesn't want to perceive this image that's depicted and clothed in matter like a sculptor does or a composer or someone. A Kabbalist wants to rise to that higher degree from the state that he's in, meaning there are two opposite directions of development here. An artist wants to bring it down into the matter of this world. A Kabbalist wants to rise to that spirit of the muse and to be in it, live in it. What happens with that artist, and later we'll also talk about what happens with that Kabbalist, that suddenly the muse comes upon him? What happens with that artist? An artist also sometimes knows how can he awaken himself through intoxication, drugs, in different ways. Different things. He puts himself into a state of nirvana, special inspiration. We see that artists, they also undergo maybe sometimes also unpleasant different conditions, states. They misbehave in different ways. But this gives them the ability to come out of their own skin. The instability, they're looking for that too. They're looking for instability in order to come out into that new place. Is there something that can prevent that muse from coming? Sure. If they're too influenced by the corporeal world, then it really limits them. If the government, suppose, demands something of him or doesn't allow him to advance in something, or that the public doesn't understand them, like they didn't understand the first impressionists, and so on, it's a problem. There are many such examples. I don't know about the history of the ancient world, but suppose like Modigliani and others, people that were many years ahead of the public, and no one understood them. Yeah, Van Gogh, he died without any recognition. So, okay, we talked about artists. Now let's talk about a Kabbalist that suddenly feels inspiration, a muse. You're saying that a Kabbalist takes it upwards. What happens there? The truth is that Kabbalists, they always lived quietly. They don't need to shape it in any matter, substance. To the contrary, they ascend with this muse, with this reshimo, impression of itlapshut, of clothing, more and more. And so they have no problem with the public or anything else if they know how to hide themselves. If they don't know how to hide themselves, then the public sees them as kind of odd. Why? Because they're strange and odd. Maybe they even seem a bit out of balance, even a bit crazy, because they grab on to higher degrees of existence, of values. The main thing is the values. And then people think that that's it. He's breaching the boundaries, the framework of Torah and mitzvot. He leaves the culture of his people to some kind of idolatry or whatever. Meaning what they appreciate and what he appreciates are two different things. Yeah, he looks at them as they are. He understands them, but they don't understand him. What happens with a Kabbalist internally? What happens when this muse comes upon him? It's a higher degree of development. What is felt there? An artist knows that he feels a muse. Suddenly he feels the need to create. Does a Kabbalist know that he feels a muse right now? Yeah. He feels a certain change inside of him? Yeah. What makes it come? What prevents it from coming? For a Kabbalist, that muse, that inspiration that comes to a Kabbalist, he makes all efforts in order to realize it, in order to change himself to that degree of that reshimo, of that impression from that muse. It doesn't suddenly fall upon him. It's a result of lots of inner work that precedes it. Is there something that can prevent it from coming? Yeah, it's like an artist, suppose. You have to have many reasons that come together for it to happen. I want to ask about something else. We asked about artists, we compared them with Kabbalists. Now I want to ask about a broader perspective. To be an artist, is it something that a person's born with, or any person can become an artist? No. There has to come an inner development. There has to be an inner development. Is a person born with it? Yes. Okay. This is called reshimo, an impression that exists inside a person toward art or toward being a Kabbalist. Okay, not every person can be an artist, only someone who's born with this special thing. Yeah. Does a drive for art, does it exist in everyone? Look, to some extent it exists in everyone. The only question is, to what extent can you develop it? Is it possible to develop it? Yeah, but again, depends on what degree, in a limited fashion. Yeah, he won't be like Modigliani and so on. Okay, if we look at history, we see changes in art. In the past, an artist was a polymath. He knew this and knew that and did this and that, and maybe he became famous due to some kind of work of art, but before that, he was rich and so on. Over time, these things are becoming more and more restricted. He's an artist in this, she's an artist in that. Why does it work this way? Because today, you can't be a universal artist like it used to be. Why? Because today, there are different materials, different demands, different abilities and capabilities. We develop. We've developed in our tools, suppose if we're talking about art. Nowadays, I don't see someone that writes a concerto for the symphony orchestra and also writes something related to jazz. It's only the external conditions and the tools and technology, or artists changed internally compared with artists from 1,000 years ago? I think that this is how it is in everything. In the past, on smaller degrees, man could have encompassed all the different options in order to express himself in different ways. Today it's simply impossible. To be a scientist in physics, chemistry, astronomy, and so on, like they used to be 1,000 years ago. Who can do that today? I see. Another question in this respect. The artist himself, did he change his inner urges, drive, characteristics? Did he change, or is it the same artist? I think that modern artists, they became very materialistic, earthly. There are no longer such intellectuals among them, men of spirit, as before. It's a matter of time. It's not that there's someone to blame for it or anything, but this is how we advance toward coming out into the spiritual degree. And therefore, we don't see special creations. It all disappears. In the past, there was dance, then ballet, theater, literature, and so on. Yeah, where do you have these special operas today? You have that too, but you know, mankind is doing it in order to kind of fulfill their obligation, so to speak. Yeah, there is a cruder feeling of everything. There's nothing that really bursts out into a new degree. And how are these things related that on the one hand you're saying that there are no great people like in the past, but on the other hand that this is how we're advancing? It's very simple, because mankind is starting to develop toward this new artistry, which is spiritual. And people really want to achieve spiritual creations. In the meantime, they think that they can do it through drugs and other changes in the way they connect with one another and so on. And also the entire sexual deviation is a part of this. And in general, everything that we have today, those things that we're really excessive in our connection and everything, it's all toward the recognition of the new art. That'll be what? It's going to be such that, very simply, We need to become like the Creator, to simply come out to a higher degree. We can't reach it through drugs. We can't reach it through sexual deviations and not by other things, but we have to learn how to do it. This is called art that leads to faith. Faith is the power of love and bestow. Love of others, bestowing to others, so that in our relations we'll be able to form, shape, new shapes, new forms, so that we can take everyone and everything and put it together in order to build the perfect mutual bestowal and evermore, and this way we'll advance in size and in form toward the Creator. So this new art, it's going to be one that includes several people working together. It's not going to be an individual artist working on his own. No, it's going to be many people working together. And in their mutual work, what are they going to create? The image of the Creator. meaning the force of love and bestowal that shall dwell among them. What is this type of creation? This new creation that you're talking about? What you just said? That it's the art of love and bestowal. It is a relation of love and bestowal among people. How will this, or what will this creation look like? Those that will see it as an attitude of love and bestowal. Which is what? What is this attitude of bestowal and love? What does it feel like? Can you depict your relation to your child? Of course I can. How? Very broad heart. So what? You draw a broad heart? No, I'm not talking about drawing or depicting. I mean it as a metaphor. But I mean that I can imagine and envision my attitude toward my child. So this is your attitude toward everyone. So it's an emotional creation. Yeah, this new art. Yeah. Emotional, social. It's not a single person that creates, but it's a group of people. Yeah. What will be the muse then that will drive this art to reach the perfect creation? Will there be a special drive for it? Of course. People will understand that this is the true art. What is the criteria for the perfect art? The measure to which we're in perfect love between us. Okay, let's talk about education. Throughout the generations, we studied art. You know, almost all parents send their children to some kind of art class. We feel that art develops man in general, and also young children, broadens the horizons, as you put it in one of our previous shows, that the role of art is to broaden a person's horizons, to lift them a bit from corporeal reality. In the future, in this new art, where people are going to create relations of love and bestowal toward each other, what are we going to teach our children about art in this future state? Where are you going to send your grandchild if you'll want to teach him about this new art? I'll send him to a class where he can connect with other children his age, where they're taught how to connect, how to help each other, how to love each other, for them to connect to such an extent that there will be a network of connections between them that will be called love and bestowal. What kind of class will it be? Music, art, what? Doesn't matter. What's important is that they'll connect ever more. When you said that it's not important what kind of class is it, it could be in anything. The main thing is for there to be this mutual connection between the participants. Yeah. So what I'm gradually starting to understand is that the image of the artist is really going through a metamorphosis. If in the past it was some unique individual that, you know, can be only with himself, not talk to anyone for a year, here an artist has completely different qualities that are related to connection with other people. Yeah? So an artist, he has a very strong desire to express himself. Where is his self-expression? In his devotion. Just like he devotes himself to his painting or a certain sculpture, then here he devotes himself to create a perfect connection among everyone. And where is he? You said that artists have a very big ego. Inside their connection, inside the love that dwells among them, this is where he finds himself, this is where he realizes himself, his drive. Yeah. Looking forward, 10, 20 years from now, what is art going to be like? Like this? Give me a few guidelines. There will be many circles, small ones, where in each and every circle, people get together. and study with instructors, trustworthy instructors, loyal instructors, well-taught instructors or guides, how to make out of these small circles a single unit, out of each such circle, so that in this circle they'll become as one man and one heart, and that in these circles they will feel that they attain one special unique force, which is the special and unique force that exists in nature of bestowal and love. What is an eternal creation? This will be the eternal creation, because by this they rise above their desire in order to receive and into a desire of in order to bestow. They come out of their limitations into a limitless state. Last question. The bottom line, what's supposed to be the greatest human creation that we can create as a mankind, so that all of these small groups, what small groups? The small groups that achieve unity, connection in each such group, they will connect into one big group that includes all of humanity without exception. And what did we create by this? The force of bestowal and love, by which we reach beyond the boundaries of mankind today into other dimensions of infinite love and bestowal, and then we start feeling life, not the way we do now in a limited corporeal manner, but without any limitations, simply beyond matter. And this is a divine creation. That we have to create, that we have to form and shape and live in and enjoy it. Thank you very much, Dr. Leitman. Amazing. Thank you, Yael. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.